Praise the Lord. God bless you, everyone. So happy to be with you today. And I've been asked to lead on in this week's teachings. And I hope and pray that you will see something through the scriptures as we are journeying in the Word of God. Over the years, I've heard a lot of expressions of what we call the Godhead. And I'd like to put a little light on the subject as we journey on. And I'd like to call this little titled, He Sent Them Saviors. We know that God in the beginning, if we go back before any creation, God has always been, because He is eternal. There's only one spirit that is eternal, that's God Himself. And back in the beginning, He was El, or Elyon. And when He was speaking, He could only reason and speak with Himself, because He didn't have anything or anyone to communicate with. Then in God's great plan, He started a sort of historical, today it's history, but then it was a future plan for the rest of eternity. He wanted to communicate with someone. Therefore, because He is the creator, He can do anything He wants at any time. Then He decided He would create a world. And of course, He started with the actual creation, as you see around you today. But before He started that actual creation, He started to create it in His mind, in His thought, in His spirit. And the very first thing that He started thinking about was, I want someone that I can communicate with in a full version. No hindrance, no limitation, just communicate on the same level as I am myself. And when you go to Revelation in chapter 3 and in verse 14, we read a little scripture there where John, the apostle, is receiving a revelation from the Lord. And it reads there, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. My, what a verse, what a scripture. Who is speaking to John the Apostle? We know that when you read the book of Revelation, you can see that the writer or the inspirator is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He says, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Well, when I look at that scripture, in my mind, in simplicity, that tells me that when God wanted to create something or someone, He wanted to create something or someone that was perfect, was just like himself. But remember, there is only one God, and that is the El, the Elyon, Elohim, anything that is really looking at God as the supernatural spirit who covers the universe. Remember, there is not one place in the universe that God is not there. So he is a vast spirit, have all the power in the world, in the universe, to do, to create whatever he wants. But of course, he was having the very inspiration in himself. He wanted someone that had the same ability or capacity to in communication. Remember, anything that is created, and when it says here in Revelation 3:14, the beginning of the creation of God, that tells me the first thing that God ever created was then the one that he was going to communicate with and have as a key operator for the rest of eternity. Because God himself is invisible. It's impossible to see him. That's what Paul, when he writes to Timothy, and he says that God lives in a light, and no one has ever seen God or will ever be able to see him. The only thing that you and I will be able to see is actually his creation. Whatever he creates, that will be the visible part. But there is an invisible or invisible thing that no one will ever see. You and I, as human beings, we are materialistic beings, but we know that there is a spirit in us which is invisible. We make expressions, and of course our expressions may sometimes be an expression of joy, mellow, crying, dissatisfaction, but the spirit itself will have to use the creative substance to show the image that is in your personality, right? If you have a grieving spirit, then you will not be able to show it if it was invisible. But when your sad goes sad, your face goes sad, then everybody look around and they say, oh my, there's something here. That person is sad. He's grieving. Or if you are joyful, your spirit is joyful, it has an expression through your creative substance. So God, when he creates us with all kinds of abilities to show emotions, joy, sadness, life and death. In between there, we are somewhere. Let us also go to John chapter 10. Because here, a heading of a text, if I'm going to use it like that, here is a question. If you are the anointed one, then tell us plainly. Hey, what is plainly? And what is anointing? Remember, the anointing part is God's secret spirit that shows and expresses his will. And anointing comes from the source of God. Of course, if we are including the devil into our subject, I don't like to talk about him. But of course, when God created us, he needed us to express our desire. What do we really want to do with our life? Therefore, he have to create the negative point and the positive, and both of them have a magnetic effect, drawing attention so that we will have a desire to do the positive or the negative. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden one day when God spoke to Adam and Eve and told them there are two trees in the midst of the garden. And those two trees are actually not physical trees. They are spiritual laws. And those two spiritual laws will have an effect on you. But he said, don't look at the spiritual law of the tree of knowledge. And the tree of knowledge is an anointing. And of course, it is Lucifer, the devil, the dragon, the dark spirit. He has the ability to draw an attention. And the tree of knowledge is what the devil is using so that the people will have a desire to know things. But remember, no, to know things, there is a gateway into knowing things. And there is a dark gateway. You can be lured, trapped, or beguiled to look into a truth or to a knowledgeable substance in the wrong direction. And when you learn to know what the truth about it is, it creates guilt. And the guilt part is going to play with your mind, because then, of course, when God called Adam in the Garden of Eden, after he had been eaten of the tree of knowledge, he felt guilty. He ran away to hide. And he even told the Lord, hey, when you call on me, I got scared and I hid because I was naked. And of course, then the Lord told him and said, Adam, have you been eaten of the tree of knowledge? Because that's the only tree and the only spiritual law that will make you feel guilty. When you do the will of God, you'll never feel guilty. You will feel free. You'll be expressing a positive drive in your life. I did what he wanted me to do, the will of God. All right. So here, back to John chapter 10 then, verse 24 to 38. Let me look here. The Jews therefore came around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou hold us in suspense? If thou art the Christ, tell us plainly. All right. The word here, the Jews, they were looking for a Messiah. After the fall in the Garden of Eden, mortality entered into the physical part of the human being. And then, when the physical part got contaminated by disobedience, they disobeyed God, then age started to creep in. So people get older. And of course, back in Genesis, when you read the scriptures there in the beginning, People got to be about 1,000 years old. Some were 800, some were 700, some were 900. And Methuselah was 969. They lived a long time. And of course, when we look at age, according to our standards, when we get old, to be close to 100 years old, we look like we're 100 years old. I mean, we're old, wrinkled, and it looks like we are on the edge of the grave. But back in those days, a 100-year-old man hadn't even started family life yet. So here, they could have family and they could produce children even when they were 200, 300, 400 years old. That changed, and of course I won't go in elaborate into to that part, but when the Jews were looking at Jesus the Christ, and they said, if you are the Christ, what is Christ? It is the anointed. Remember, Jesus, the anointed one. And then the people, they looked at Jesus, because when he said something, like he said, be healed. He said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus revived from death after 4 days and came out of the grave. And the people were astonished. How can a man say anything like this? And everything obeys him. He was standing in the boat. The boat was taking in water. And the disciples were scared because they thought, we're going to drown. But Jesus looked up in the sky. He pointed to the clouds and said, be still. And suddenly all the winds calmed down and the sea eased down. And it was just like a mirror after a few minutes. And the disciples, they looked and they said, what is that type of man? How can he do things like that? Well, it just tells us they didn't understand how spiritual things works. And then later on, when let me read through here. In verse 25, we're talking about John chapter 10, verse 25 now. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. Let us stop there. So Jesus, he told them that he was the anointed one. But they couldn't understand how that anointing worked. Because it looks like when a man speaks and things happen when he says it, then you may say the power is in the man. It's the way he is speaking, the way he is expressing himself, and that makes things happen around. So most people, they think Jesus Christ had a certain power. So he could utter things and things started working. And then people are going to school. They're trying to educate themselves to be more like Jesus so that they also can have the word in their mouth and have the power to do and say what Jesus said. But Jesus, he never had that power on his own. He couldn't say things like that. Be still. Lazarus, come out. On his own. He was anointed. And the people never understood that part. How is it to be anointed? to do the things that he does, and things happen. Where can I get that anointing? Well, it's actually very simple, because Jesus Christ, when he spoke, he had already heard a message from El, from God. God the Father, he is the inspirational factor that will make people be able to do what they do. So Jesus Christ, when he grew up, he noticed how that the Father would anoint him and tell him what to do. It is actually like being in a trance, or like we say sometimes, being in the spirit. We have a conscience and we have a subconscious. And in the conscience, that's where we work with ourselves. But the subconscious is outside our inner being. So we cannot create the subconscious and make the subconscious do things in and for us. Because that spiritual realm belongs to God himself. God is the one who anoints. God is the one who speaks. That's how it started with me in the beginning. I had never understood anything of spiritual nature. Therefore, I actually never went to church. As a young boy, up till I was about 17 years old, I had no experience on spiritual matters. But a friend of mine started wanting to go to the Salvation Army. And he invited me to come because he was going to be dedicated as a soldier in the Salvation Army. And for friends, because he was my friend, I said, I'll go with you and see what this is all about. And I walked up on a balcony. I was sitting, watching the church, seeing the things going on in the church building. They took my friend and he knelt down by the altar. They laid hands on him and they started to pray, because they are now dedicating him to be a soldier in the Salvation Army. And while I was sitting there on the balcony, looking over this thing, I heard a voice behind me. And the voice was very clear. And he said, what your friend are now going into, you have no part in it right now. What did that mean? It actually meant that my friend was going into a spiritual dimension, a spiritual part of a world that I actually didn't have any part in. It was not a condemnation. It was just a notice. God was speaking and saying, there is a spiritual world that you have no idea about today. And I turned around to see the man speaking to me, because it was as clear as a man would speak. And when I turned around, there was no one back there. And that got me really nervous. I was shocked. How can a voice speak clear and there is no one there to focus at? There was no body, no physical substance. But the voice was as clear as I would speak, as I speak to you today. That got me so nervous. So I got out of that church and I said, I'm never going to go back there again. But that voice who spoke in that term was so crisp and clear, and it stayed with me, inside me. And I had to say, I heard a voice. But how can I explain it? I couldn't. Hey, so therefore, when Jesus was told, and they said, they said, how long does the holes in suspend if you are the Christ? All right. The Christ is the anointing. So when I was upon that balcony, there was an anointing. And out of that anointing, God spoke. And I wouldn't be able to understand what it was because I'd never been in that type of environment before. But it woke me up. There is a voice, there is a sound, and it doesn't actually need a body, a substance, to be expressed. So Jesus answered them, and he said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. So what is Jesus actually explaining here in verse 25, John 10, 25. Jesus is expressing that, hey, the Father speaks to me. He tells me what to do. And then I do the same thing. Because when I speak exactly what the Father tells me to say, then these things bear witness of me. That means I have contact with the Father. And I'm expressing his will. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful, brothers and sisters? God comes to us. He speaks to us. And he tells us his will. And then when his will tells you to pray for the sick, command the dead to rise, or whatever the Lord has in mind for you to do. If you express his will that way, it will happen like he says it. May the Lord bless you this morning and be with you, and we will continue our thoughts. Amen.